O Lord Hari, O Lord Krishna, I offer my obeisances to you, who are known as Hari, Yadava, Madhava, and Keshava. O Gopal Govindaram, Sri Madhu Sudan, Giridhari Gopinath, and Madan Mohan. All glories to Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda. All glories to Sri Advaitacharya and his consort, Sri Sita Thakurani. All glories to Lord Hari, to the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavad Gita. All glories to Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhat Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. I offer my obeisances to the feet of these six Goswamis. By bowing to them, all obstacles to devotion are destroyed and all spiritual desires are fulfilled. I am the servant of that person who is the servant of these six Goswamis. The dust of their lotus feet is my five kinds of foodstuffs. This is my desire, that birth after birth, I may live with those devotees who serve the lotus feet of these six Goswamis. When these six Goswamis lived in Braj, they revealed the lost holy places and explained the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Just shout the names of Lord Hari in great ecstasy and worship the transcendental realm of Vrindavan while absorbing your mind in meditation upon the divine feet of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. Desiring to serve the lotus feet of Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas, Narottam Das sings this Sankirtan of the holy names of Lord Hari. This prayer by Narottam Das Thakur Mahashay so proficiently reveals the essential truths which imbibing one can achieve all spiritual perfections. Lord Chaitanya descended to establish Nam Sankirtan, congregational chanting of Lord Hari's holy names. In fact, as our beloved Acharyas often explain, although he taught such deep, profound subjects to Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and others, he personally only wrote 8 verses, Shikshastakam. Shikshastakam is the essential lessons of how to progressively purify one's heart through the chanting of the holy names. In this way, he put the greatest emphasis on chanting. When the people of Navadvip came to him, he gave them such simple instructions and promised them that simply by following these instructions you will attain all perfection. Just chant this 32-syllable, 16-name mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And by chanting this, love of Krishna will awaken in your hearts. There are no hard and fast rules in chanting. You can chant any time, in any place, in every circumstance. In fact, Lord Chaitanya instruction Shikshastakam, if we're humble and tolerant and respectful, we will be empowered, Kirtaniya Sadahari, to be always chanting the holy names. In every circumstance, good or bad, happiness, distress, pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor, success or failure, victory or defeat, in health or disease, in life or in death, if we are humble, if we are tolerant, like the grass and the tree, if we honor others and do not crave for such respect for ourselves, then yes, Krishna will empower us. He will descend through his name within our heart, and from our heart we will chant. In Shikshastakam, Lord Chaitanya is teaching us how to chant the names in a very sincere mood of prayer, of humility and separation. If you really study Shikshastakam, there's such humility. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. You are so kind, so merciful, you have descended in your name and all your powers and opulences are there. And there are no hard and fast rules. But Lord Chaitanya says, I am so unfortunate, I have no attraction for chanting your names. He even recited these Shikshastakam verses in the Antyalila, where he was at the time of his pastimes, where he was exhibiting the deepest, most profound ecstasies of prema that the world has ever seen. He was freely just manifesting to his intimate associates, Swarup Damodar Ramananda Rai, the love and separation of Sri Radha for Krishna. And yet, this is his prayer, that I have no attraction for your holy names. When will that day come? When will that day come? When there will be tears in my eyes and my vice will be choked up when I chant your holy names. The world is sunyayatam jagat saravam. The whole universe is a dreary void bereft of you, my dear Govinda. So yes, Shikshastakam tells everything. And it is all centered around the sincere qualities in chanting the holy names. We have explained how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally deposited the loving compassion of his heart and his attraction for the holy name in the heart of Narottam Das Thakur. When Thakur Narottam was in Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared to him in a vision. We explained the other night during the Ratha Yatra in a dream. Actually, Narottam went to sleep thinking how unfortunate he was to miss the pastimes of the Lord. And then it wasn't exactly a dream, it was a revelation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the Ratha Yatra dancing with all of his associates from all countries. And then he approached Narottam and held his hand and told him, I am going to empower you to sing such a type of kirtan of the holy names of the Lord that you will mesmerize the people who hear your songs. I will empower you to reveal my teachings, my pastimes, and my mission through your writings. Have no fear. I will always be with you, and you will be successful. Now go back to Kedari. So when Prabhupada explains that all the holy scriptures are revealed in their essence in the simple prayers of Narottam Das Thakur, that was actually the empowered will of Lord Chaitanya. So in this very simple song that is often sung by Vaishnavas, so much information is there. Gaudiya Vaishnav philosophy is very deep. It goes into exceedingly precise detail of every aspect practically of existence. How the development of the creeper of bhakti takes place, how it evolves from sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, raganuga bhakti, then to bhava bhakti and prema bhakti, is described in incredible detail by Sri Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then
for the most advanced devotees, the subject of prema bhakti is developed in Ujjvala Nilamani, in all of its intricacies. No, there is no other sampradaya that explains in such depth as the descendants of Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya. And Jiva Goswami has systemized and scientifically revealed the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam to answer all questions and to reveal all messages, the goal and the essence of all the teachings of the Vedas. Narottam Das Thakur studied under Jiva Goswami, the books of Rupa Goswami, and mastered them. Therefore, it was Jiva Goswami who awarded him the title Mahashai. It's a very, very high title of respectability. And here, in this song, he's revealing really what we have to know in order to understand properly any of the other teachings. This has to be practiced. This mood, this spirit. Prabhupada said on several occasions that philosophy without character is practically useless. One must have good character. Otherwise, the heart is not receptive to actually absorb the philosophy. It remains in the head. Intellectuals could memorize, can present, but to actually have that knowledge absorb in the heart has to be very, very soft. The heart is hard. You could perform severe austerities, and you could immensely learn the scriptures, but it remains in the head. Can't penetrate the hard heart. So this song is really a prerequisite. We must practice what he's speaking in this song before we could really absorb the glories of the name or the teachings of the Lord. So first, Narottam Das Thakur is simply blissfully chanting the holy names of Lord Hari, offering his obeisances. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna, Yadavaya Namaha, Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Then in ever-increasing enthusiasm, he's singing the names of the Lord of Vrindavan. Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhu Sudan, Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Then in his great love, he's spontaneously crying out the names of the Lord of Vrindavan, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, as they have descended into this world in the age of Kali to give prema. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Gita Sita. And then the next line is very important. Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavad Gita. If we are insufficient in our sincerity in worshipping any of these four, there will be an incompleteness in our spiritual life. There is Hari. We worship Hari by chanting his names. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam kalo nasteva 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 gatiranyata. In this age of Kali Yuga, there is no better way of glorifying the world than chanting his name. And by hearing his pastimes, Guru, without worshipping Guru, honoring Guru, one cannot approach Hari. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kutopi. Tadvijnanartham sugurum eva abhigacchati. We cannot understand Vedas without Guru. We will simply mentally, intellectually get some ideas, but we cannot understand. Unless Guru is pleased, we cannot place Lord Hari. So to honor and worship Guru is very, very fundamental. In fact, Rupa Goswami, he describes 64 items of devotional service. First 10 items are what we must do.
Pravriti.
Next 10 items is what we should not do, what we cannot do.
Nivriti.
And then it goes on to describe the great details of the processes of devotional service. What is favorable for devotional service. But of the 64 items, which are progressive, the first is to accept a spiritual master. The second is to accept initiation from a spiritual master, and follow the, which means to follow the teachings of the spiritual master. Prabhupada would say often that keeping guru is not a fashion. Believe it or not, for many people, it is. It's a social fashion. It's a, to have a guru, to have a nice spiritual name within society of Vaishnavas is fashionable. You get a little more respect, perhaps. And it also may be just an emotional, sentimental idea to lean on. That I feel some from shelter. I feel safe because I have a guru. Well, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, a sincere person, he must lose faith in materialistic life. Realize that there is no real happiness in this material world. Until you're at that stage, you can't really accept the guru in your heart. Because the guru is going to tell you how to get out of material life and surrender to Krishna. That's his duty. Om gyan timirandasya gyananjana chalakaya chakshurun militam yena tashmai shri guru venama. A guru is supposed to take you out of darkness and bring you into light. A guru is not supposed to teach you how to be happier in the darkness. But that's what most gurus teach. How to be happier in the darkness. They can teach you how to get around better in the darkness. And how to find various types of higher pleasures in this darkness. How to become richer in this darkness. How to have better sex life in this darkness. How to be more peaceful in your mind. Shanti, shanti, shanti in this darkness. And that's nice. But according to the Vedas, that's not the purpose of guru. The guru is to take you out of the darkness. Samashita ye padapalava plavam mahat padam punya yasho morari. Pavam buddhir bhatsa padam 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 yadvi padam natesham. To teach you how to transcend this material existence and enter into the spiritual realm. Not try to be happy in this world where there is danger at every step. However many things have gone wrong in our lives or in the various societies that are around us, still, that is the service that the spiritual masters are rendering. And to get out of the darkness, we must follow the instructions. What is the qualification? Prabhupada taught, Vyavashayatmaka buddhir eke hakurunandana bhushaka hinantascha buddhayo vyavashayanam. One should be resolute in purpose, one's aim should be one. The intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. So it is a serious thing. So Narottam Das Thakur says it's serious, and it may even be scary. But it's necessary. We must worship Hari by chanting his holy name and hearing his pastimes and worshiping him. And we must also honor Guru and worship Guru, not simply, as Prabhupada say, by offering flowers, but by following the teachings. Guru wants nothing from us. Devotees would offer artis to Prabhupada and beautiful garlands to Prabhupada and flowers to Prabhupada and beautiful residences to Prabhupada and nice cars for Prabhupada. Recently, one of my godbrothers was telling that Prabhupada went to Detroit. The Detroit airport, he was picked up at the airport. Now, everyone knows what Detroit is most famous for. I don't know what it's famous for now, but it's famous for the Ford motor car, right? Ford made the automobile famous. Some other people were making cars, but they were very expensive, and common people, there was no way they can afford. They could hardly afford horses, time near the Depression. But Henry Ford, year after year after year, he only made one model, the Model T. And the reason he only made one model and created the assembly line of people working in unity together. Prabhupada said, unity is strength. He understood this principle. If people work together, they could actually do tremendous amount of work. So everybody was working together, synchronized. And he brought the cost of that car so cheap that even the common person in America could afford it. And he became a very, very wealthy person through the process. So the Ford car is the most famous car in the world. And in the 1970s, the Ford had its premier, ultimate luxury car. It was called the Lincoln Continental. Yes. General Motors had Cadillac, and Ford's ultimate luxury car was the Lincoln Continental. So when Prabhupada came to the airport, there was a Ford, ultimate Lincoln Continental, brand new, waiting to pick him up in the city of Detroit. And the driver of the car was Mr. Ford, who later became Prabhupada's disciple, Ambarish Das. It's quite amazing, is it not? Coming to Detroit, the city of Ford. And Prabhupada came to New York City on a cargo ship and got off the boat and didn't know where to go, right or left. Didn't have a single penny, just had some rupees, which were useless. And a few years later, he's picked up in a Lincoln Continental with Mr. Ford driving it as his chauffeur. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Where were we? So yes, Prabhupada gave so much of himself. So to worship Guru, Prabhupada explained again and again, is to follow the teachings of Guru. Ah, yes. He didn't need Lincoln Continentals. He didn't need chauffeurs. He didn't really care so much about flowers and garlands and beautiful mansions they were buying. What actually pleased him is when his disciples were developing love of God. And how to develop love of God? To follow the teachings. Sincerely. All the teachings. That is worship of Guru. Narottam Das Thakur then exclaims how we must worship the Vaishnavas. Because that is one of the topmost main teachings of Guru and Hari, is to worship the Vaishnavas. You cannot worship Guru or Lord Hari without honoring, respecting, worshiping, and serving Vaishnavas. Krishna says to Arjuna, Adi Purana, Madbhakta Pujabhyadika, that worship of my devotee is better than worshiping me. Sadhunam Hridayam Dvayam. He says in the Bhagavatam that the sadhu has given his heart to me, therefore I give my heart to my devotee. My devotee doesn't know anything but me, therefore I know no one but my devotee. If you offend my devotee, I will accept that as the greatest offense. If you serve my devotee, I will accept that as the greatest service to me. Srila Prabhupada, one of his very last teachings to the whole world of his followers, if you want to show your love for me, cooperate with one another. And he wasn't talking about cooperation meaning simply tolerating. That's the minimum cooperation, is to tolerate each other. But actual positive cooperation means to inspire each other, to serve each other, to respect each other, to honor each other, to actually love each other and work together to access the divine mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offer it to the world. Panchatattva broke open the storehouse of love of God. They tasted the contents profusely. In the house of Srivas Thakur, they were just tasting the nectar of Harinam Sankirtan. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami tells that Srivas Angam, the house of Srivas, was none different than the Rasa Stali of Braj Bhumi, the place of Rasa dance. When they were chanting Harinam Kirtan, they were immersed in the divine leelas of Vrindavan. They were tasting that nectar which manifests from the holy name within the heart. But that wasn't all. Not only did they taste it, but they became mad to distribute it. Lord Chaitanya went through all the provinces of South India and without discrimination was just giving love of God everywhere, to every kind of person. And when he returned back to Puri, he told Nityananda Prabhu, he told him, You're living here in Puri like a very peaceful man? No. You should become like a mad lion and go to Bengal and broadcast Harinam Kirtan and Krishna Prema to everyone without discrimination. Even the dacoits and the criminals and the sinners and the atheists. Like a lion, you go and you proclaim the glories of the holy name. And Nityananda Prabhu took those words as his life and soul. So that was the glory of the Panchatattva. But how to do so? The Panchatattva personally displayed worship and service to the Vaishnavas. Bhagavad Gita, the fourth item here. Krishna has revealed the way, the truth of how to approach him through his own words. That is why Bhagavad Gita is so sacred and so important. It's the basic fundamental teachings. It's the essence of all the Vedas and Upanishads. Krishna himself is speaking how to achieve the ultimate goal in Bhagavad Gita. From the most basic teachings to surrendering everything in complete remembrance of him. What a beautiful song. In one half of a stanza, Narottam Das Thakur just says everything. Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavad Gita. Then he glorifies the six Goswamis. I offer my obeisances to the feet of these Goswamis. By bowing down to them, all obstacles to devotion are removed, and all spiritual desires are fulfilled. And I will end this class today with this next verse, and then I'll give a little explanation, if there's time. He says, I am the servant of that person who is a servant of these six Goswamis. The dust of their lotus feet is my five kinds of foodstuff. The Goswamis are servant of the Lord. Narottam Das Thakur is praying to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. In other words, all those Vaishnavas who are sincerely endeavoring to follow the teachings of the six Goswamis, Narottam Das Thakur is praying, my goal is that the dust of their lotus feet are my five types of foodstuff. Now, why do we eat food? We eat food for several reasons. One is because we're hungry. Yes? We're hungry. And that hungriness is pain. There's an emptiness in our stomach. And that emptiness is painful. And food relieves that pain. And it gives us pleasure. Another reason we eat food is because it tastes good. Sometimes even when our stomach's full beyond limits, still we keep eating. Because it just tastes so good. Just like we were explaining the other day, when Janava Devi cooked in the Kethari festival the day after Gaur Purnima, these great, great saints, Raghunandan Thakur, Vrindavan Das Thakur, the brothers of Srivas, Sripati, Srinidhi, they were just eating her food, and they just kept eating and eating and eating. And Raghunandan Thakur, who was totally detached from all materialistic ideas, what to speak of pleasures, he was saying, I'm just going to keep eating. Because when are we ever going to get cooked food, prasad, cooked by the hands of Janava Mata, Ishwari? When are we ever going to get this again? It just tasted, they were tasting the nectar of devotion. Yes, so we eat food because it tastes good. Another reason we eat food is because it gives us nourishment. It gives us energy in which we can perform our work. Yes? If you don't eat, you're weak and you can't do your work. So we eat food because we're hungry. We eat food because it tastes good. And we eat food because we need nourishment to be in good health and to have energy to do great things in this world. Those are some of the reasons we eat. Yes? Narottam Das Thakur is saying, the dust of the lotus feet of the servants of the servants of the Lord is my five kinds of foodstuffs. Why? Because by serving the Vaishnava's lotus feet, we satisfy Krishna. And Krishna describes in Bhagavatam, when you water the root of the tree, all the leaves, branches, and twigs are very happy. Similarly, when we serve the Lord and please Him, all the demigods, all the forefathers, everyone is satisfied. And most of all, our own soul is satisfied. But what is the greatest service to the Lord? Service to the Vaishnavas. We cannot separate the two. So yes, we are hungry. And the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, that means the humble, worshipable service to the Vaishnavas, actually satisfies that hunger of the heart, that loneliness of that heart, that longing for Krishna. But he's not talking about some ritualistic service. He's talking about service which is bhakti, devotional service. Our service is worship. Actually, as we make actual advancement in Krishna consciousness, we realize more and more every single thing we do at every moment of the day is an act of worship. Worship is a very serious word. It means very sacred, very divine, very, very holy acts. Everything from bowing down when we wake up in the morning, to taking our bath, to brushing our teeth, to going to the temple, to seeing the deities, to serving the Vaishnavas, to chanting the rounds, to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Whatever we do should be as an act of worship, an offering of our hearts, offering of our lives, offering of our body, minds, words, and life to Krishna. Actual bhakti means not to waste a moment. Now, there's so many things we have to do that appear not connected to Krishna, even bodily activities. We won't go into details. But it explains, Prabhupada describes so sublime, in a nutshell, one word. Krishna accepts the purpose in which everything is offered to him. He accepts the intention of our heart, not just what we do. But what we do should be with a genuine interest to fulfill the intention of our heart. So yes, everything we do, we should be doing for Krishna as an act of worship. I'm taking care of this body so that it could be a fit instrument to serve Krishna. And what's the greatest function of this body? To serve Vaishnavas. Because when we serve Vaishnavas, we please Guru. And when we please Guru, we please Krishna. So worship of the Vaishnavas is of paramount importance. Narottam Das Thakur prays Charya Vaishnava Seva Nistarapai Chikeva. That no one can understand Krishna without worshipping the feet of the devotees, the Vaishnavas, by serving them. Yes, we are hungry for Krishna. We are hungry. We are suffering due to the hunger of Krishna consciousness in this material world. And the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava, which means the humble, worshipable service of the Vaishnavas, will satisfy that hunger. And it also tastes so good. Why does it taste so good? Because the particles of dust from the feet of the Vaishnavas, and we're not talking simply in the physical sense, we're talking in the spiritual sense. Because I've seen people who criticize Vaishnavas, who even sometimes, you know, are vengeful and angry toward Vaishnavas, but they'll ritualistically eat the dust of their feet and put it on their heads. Well, what does that mean? That's not what Narottam Das Thakur is talking about. He's not just talking about just having feasts of dust. He's talking about an attitude. An attitude of humility, an attitude of worshiping. If you see that a person is so holy and so great that you want to take the dust of that person's feet, that means the dirtiest part of the person, at the lowest part of his body, and you want to put that on your head? The lowest part of that person you want to put on top of your head? And not only that, you want to put it inside your body and it goes through your whole bloodstream and reaches everything, even your heart, by eating it? What evil. That's humility. That's an attitude. And that attitude tastes like nectar. You know the story of Kalidas. He made a vow to take the dust of the feet of every Vaishnava in Bengal, and he did it somehow or other. He spent so much of his wealth and so much energy for years to achieve that goal. And he didn't do it just so that his name would be in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because he didn't even know there would be a Chaitanya Charitamrita. He did it because he loved the Vaishnavas that much. He gave his life for it. He would walk hundreds of kilometers to meet one Vaishnav who was a Sudra. And he was Brahmin. And he knew this Sudra, Jadu Thakur. He would never, never give him his food remnants, food that comes out of his mouth. There'd be no way he'd give him remnants. So he offered him some mangoes and hid in the forest. And knows that you can't eat the skins and the seeds of the mangoes, so they have to go somewhere. So he just waited for hours. And the wife of Jadu Thakur, after he ate the mangoes, she also ate the mangoes. And, you know, they all sucked on the seeds and sucked on the skins to get all that nectar off. And then threw it on the ground in the garbage area. And when nobody was looking, he secretly went and ate it. And when he was eating those, he was sucking on those already sucked mango seeds. He was weeping in ecstasy in the dark. Nobody was watching except the Lord in his heart. Now that's serious Vaishnav Seva. Tasted like nectar to him. And in this case, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, there are three items that are Mahabala. Do you know what Mahabala is? What does it mean? It means most powerful. Mahabala. And what are those three things? The dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, the water that has washed the feet of the Vaishnavas, and the remnants of the food of the Vaishnavas. One who gives up all mental ideas of, you know, I love part of his samosa, but not the dal. You know? One who actually doesn't see in a material sense, but sees in this spiritual perception that this food is sacred and worshipable and purify my existence because it's been tasted by a Vaishnav. Of course, Vaishnavas never think that they're Vaishnavas, so they don't like to give it to you. But somehow, Kalidas got it anyway. So yes, the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, it's sweeter than this, the sweetest of all sweet things in this world, if we have the proper consciousness. And we're not simply talking about eating something from the feet. We're talking about the spirit of humble, respectful service to the Vaishnava. There's nothing sweeter. Why is it so sweet? Because it pleases Krishna, who's the sweetest of the sweet, and he reveals his sweetness when we serve within our hearts, when we serve the Vaishnavas. And as far as there was hunger and taste and nourishment. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas is what's holding me up so that I could walk on this path of bhakti. Hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord and the association of the devotees is the food, the nourishment that gives us strength to carry on in our Krishna consciousness. Yes, serving the Vaishnavas will give us spiritual strength, spiritual nourishment, and spiritual energy. Therefore, it is tradition that we do not begin any important endeavor without receiving the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So sacred, so important. And how do we get the blessings of the Vaishnavas? Not just give me blessings. If you don't, I'll be very upset with you. Not blocking a person in the hallway and saying, "Ah, give me blessings. I'm going to do this. I need your blessings." All right, you're blessed. But you don't get much blessings like that. It's like the famous story in a train where Prabhupada was in his train car and this one man came in with folded hands. He was falling on his feet and falling on his knees and bowing down again. And he said, "Swamiji, give me your blessings, give me your blessings, give me your blessings." Prabhupada saw that he was a very materialistic person who just wanted blessings for his sense gratification. He was demanding blessings. In the name of begging, he was actually demanding. Yes, sometimes beggars can be demanding. Without humility and the real desire to serve and to honor and to worship, blessings aren't worth much. So the person just, Prabhupada said, no, I'm not going to give you anything, you know, go. And then he became very much, no, Swamiji, give me your blessings, please. He said, no, I don't have time for all these things. No, please give me your blessings, please. He says, Prabhupada said, all right, I will give you blessing, that your material life will be finished. And the man fell to the ground. He said, Swami, that's a curse, that's not a blessing. He said, no, that is my blessing. That was his blessing. So not only did he teach that man a good blessing, but he also a lesson, but he taught all of us who hear the story even 30 years later that actually you don't just get blessing. You have to earn blessing. According to how we approach the Lord reciprocates. And similarly, the Lord reciprocates according to how we approach the Vaishnavas. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada and the great Acharyas, my blessing is my instructions. To the degree you follow them, you are blessed. To the degree you don't follow them, you're not receptive to the blessings. According to our sincerity, according to our humility. Even if a person may be a little fallen due to previous conditionings, if a person is sincere and trying to humbly serve, then the Guru will bless, the Vaishnava will bless, and Krishna will bless. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he explains how I worship not only the Paramhamsa Mahabhagavats, who who have realized Krishna, but I also worship the new devotee. I worship all devotees with great veneration and devotion. That is the proper consciousness, because that consciousness will please Krishna. And when Krishna sees we have that consciousness, he nourishes us, he enlivens us, he empowers us with spiritual strength. There are so many examples of one who is humble to serve the Vaishnava has become very spiritually empowered. Mukam karoti vacha lam pangum langayate girim. Dumb men speak, blind men see, deaf men hear, by the mercy of Vaishnavas. Yes, we can be empowered to do unbelievable things. We can be energized, we can be nourished, we can be satisfied, and we can experience the higher taste when we aspire for these dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas. Thus, Narottam Das Thakur says, my foodstuff, my five kinds of foodstuff, is the dust of the feet of the devotees who are following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Sri Narottam Das Thakur ki jai! Now we will begin our class. Should I continue? Narottam Das Thakur exhibited such wonderful qualities of compassion while living in Khetri Gram. We have discussed some instances. There's a beautiful story of how Lord Nityananda Prabhu's son, who is Birachandra, decided he wanted to meet with Narottam Das Thakur and see the beautiful deities he installed in Khetri Gram. Now, Birachandra, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami declares that there was nobody who was so empowered to spread the love of God as him. He was the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, who descended in the ecstasy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's son, endowed with the power and the mercy of Lord Nityananda, son of Vasudha. So he came to Jajigram, where he met with Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya was so very happy to see him. Birachandra was with many of his disciples and associates also. And he brought him into his house. And there he was greeted by Srinivasacharya's two wives, Draupadi Ishwari and Gauranga Priya, who were very embodiments of love and devotion. And they immediately, they had prepared all wonderful foodstuffs, incredible offering for Lord Birbhadra. They requested that he take his bath. He took his bath with Srinivasacharya, and when they came back, all the prasad was ready. Incredible feast they prepared. Now, Birbhadra had a Shalagram Shila and also had a Govardhan Shila. This Govardhan Shila was personally given to him with love and devotion by his father, Nityananda Prabhu. So it was more dear to him than his life. Not only did he see Giriraj Krishna in that Shila, but he saw his father's love in that Shila. He wouldn't eat anything that he didn't offer to Sri Giriraj. So in front of everybody, he offered all the bhoga to Sri Giriraj. And then it was distributed. Srinivasacharya came to serve Birchandra. Birchandra said, "You sit with me. Come and sit and we'll take prasad together." And Srinivasacharya, very humble. Now, Srinivasacharya was a fantastic scholar, the top student of Jiva Goswami. And he also had so many disciples. He was conquering all directions with his devotion. But still, great personalities like that are always eager to humble themselves to great Vaishnavas. Vaishnav never thinks, "I am great." Vaishnav always thinks, "I am servant of the great." So Srinivasacharya said, "I will serve you and I will take your remnants." And Birachandra said, "No, That's not necessary. Just come and sit with me and take prasad with me. Srinivasacharya said, let me serve you, and whatever's left over after, I'll take some of that. And Virchandra took Srinivas by the hand and pulled him down and said, I will be very happy if we can take prasad together. So Srinivasacharya sat down to take prasad with Virchandra, simply to make him happy. As the other devotees served, after the prasad, all of the Vaishnavas served Virchandra very nicely. They offered him some new clothes. They offered him some beautiful scented garlands. They offered him gifts. And just to reciprocate with their love, he accepted. Then they went to the temple. When Virchandra saw the beauty of Sri Gauranga, that self-manifesting deity that Narottam Das Thakur found in the snake-infested grain silos, he saw that deity, offered his obeisances again and again and again. The beauty of Lord Gauranga utterly melted his heart. He was weeping and crying. And then he saw the other deities that were installed. Balabhikanta, Radha Kanta, Radha Raman, Radha Krishna, and Braj Mohan. And to each of those deities, he was just obeisances, dandavat after dandavat, with tears of love. Then Narottam Das Thakur begged for his blessings to begin the kirtan. Devi Das, Gokulananda, some of the very expert kirtan singers of Narottam Das Thakur began singing, melting devotees' hearts with their enthusiastic chant. And then Thakur Narottam himself began to sing the glories of the Lord. As Narottam Das Thakur was chanting the holy names with so much love, Virchandra's body was becoming brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. As the kirtan proceeded, he was just standing there, becoming more and more and more effulgent like the sun. And then, Virchandra, the son of Nitai, started to dance with his arms raised, his large, beautiful, deep eyes red with emotion, smiling in ecstasy. His graceful body moved back and forth. The devotees were spellbound to see this dance. But he didn't want to dance alone. He wanted to dance with all the others. So on his wish, by his sides were dancing Srinivasacharya, Ramchandra Kaviraj, Govinda Kaviraj. Some of the songs they were singing were written by him, brother of Ramchandra. In this way, they were all dancing together with Nityananda Sutta Virchandra. It was a glorious event. Devotees and even people from all over Khetri, when they heard that kirtan began, this is what type of town it was. When, oh when, will that day be when New Vrindavan is like this? That as soon as people heard there's going to be a kirtan in the temple tonight, everyone from the whole village of Khetri, there were thousands and thousands of people, and even villages near, they were just running in such excitement and an expectation to participate in the loud chanting of the holy name.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
The sweet singing of Narottam Das Thakur with the dancing of Virchandra, Srinivasacharya, Ramchandra, Kaviraj, and all these incredible devotees. But everyone's eyes were focused on the beauty of Virchandra's dance, his love, and his effulgence. they dance through the night. And the next morning, and when they would have these types of kirtan, sleeping was not even a consideration. They would just dance through the night. And the next morning, the devotees prepared nice prasad for Bhirachandra, and they supplied him all nice articles of worship, scented sandalwood with saffron and camphor, and he decorated his deity with that, Govardhan. And then he offered beautiful garlands and beautiful garments. The devotees brought the best of everything they had for him to offer to Sri Giridhari. Then he offered breakfast prasad, and they all sat together. In this way, they spent some days together. And then Bhirachandra left. So this is how they lived their life in Kethari. There was one very fearful dacoit. His name was Hari Chandra Rai. You all know that story?
No.
Hari Chandra Rai was a Brahmin. His father was Raghavendra Rai, and his brother was Santosh Rai. He was known just as Chandra Rai. Although a Brahmin from a very, very high caste, very traditional family, due to bad association, he became a corrupted criminal. And because in those days, Brahmins had some special power, he used all those powers in a very demoniac way. And therefore, he was more powerful than anyone else. He became the king of all the dacoits in that area. He had hundreds and thousands of gold coins. Actually, he had 84,000 gold coins. Can you imagine 84,000 gold coins just sitting? And he had an army of 5,000 dacoits with horses, chariots, and armed with the most dangerous weapons. And he was terrorizing the countryside. Nobody could stand before him. Even the king of the country, the Nawab, was terrified of Chandra Rai. He would go into a village and just plunder everything in the village. And then he would seduce the wives and daughters of even most respectable men, including Brahmins. He was a rapist. He was a thief. He was a ghastly murderer. Tens and thousands of people were just fleeing from entire villages just to escape his wrath. And they had nowhere to go. They were like just refugees. He was torturing people. Horrible person. In fact, there was a place called Raj Mahal, which was an estate of a great statesman, a Maharaj, and Chandra Rai just took the whole thing and made that his, just walked in with his armies, killed anyone who didn't agree with him, and made that his headquarters, the Maharaj's palace, the Raj Mahal. Not Taj Mahal, but Raj Mahal. Raj is a higher word than Taj, those of you don't know. He was so sinful, according to Narahari Chakravarti, Yamaraj asked Chitragupta the extent of Chandra Rai's sins. He said, we cannot calculate them. He said, there's no way that our department in Yamaloka could calculate them all. In fact, according to our estimation, they have committed more sins and more offenses to people than even Jagai and Madhai. Now, what in the world are we going to do to punish them? That's what Chitragupta asked Yamaraj. How are we going to punish them? We can't think of enough tortures for them to punish them. And Yamaraj, who's a Mahajan, ultimately, he said, just let him be as he is for now. Just let him be. Sometimes they let criminals be for some time. So Chandra Rai caused so much agony in so many people's lives that he got his karmic reaction. A very horrible ghost, a Brahmin ghost, entered into his body. And that ghost was just beating him and pushing him and torturing him. And Chandra Rai was really, really tortured. In fact, he couldn't do anything. He was just being destroyed from within. Ultimately, he was practically on the verge of death. And his father asked an astrologer what to do, and the astrologer said, he's being haunted by a ghost, and it's not an ordinary ghost, and this ghost is not going to leave him. He's very, very powerful. The best thing for to do is go to Narottam Das Thakur. He's a great devotee of the Lord. He could help him. There's nothing else. So his father sent a letter to be given to Narottam Das Thakur. But when the letter came that it was on behalf of Chandra Rai, the person who was going to deliver it sent it back to the father and said, there's no way I am going to approach Narottam Das Thakur on behalf of your sinful rascal son. Now Raghavendra Rai, his son may have been the biggest dacoit, criminal, murderous, thief, robber, set houses on fire, but still he's my son. So there's that affection. So ultimately, Chandra Rai, he was a very avid devotee of Durga. Do you know what he used to do? On special festival days, he would build a magnificent altar, put the deity of Durga on it, and he would slaughter thousands and thousands and thousands of animals every day as a sacrifice to Bhavani. When Chandra Rai was suffering so bad he was on the verge of death, Bhavani appeared to him in the guise of an old lady and said, Chandra Rai, I am your worshipable deity. I am Durga. You think you're pleasing me by all these sacrifices? Not at all. I am disgusted with you. You are a sinful wretch. If you want to please me, there is only one way, and that is to serve my Lord and Master, Krishna. You have caused so much pain and so much suffering to so many people. You think that pleases me? You have killed all those innocent animals and drank their blood and ate their meat and offered it to me? You think that pleases me? Not at all. You are being haunted by this ghost because of your sins. And I am very happy that it is happening to you because you deserve it. You fool. There is only one hope for you, to surrender to Narottam Das Thakur because he is the dearmost devotee of Lord Krishna. That is all I have to say. And then she disappeared. So Chandra Rai was in a state of life where he was very submissive. So he told his father about the dream. So his father again sent another letter to Narottam Das Thakur. This time it came into his hands. They said, this is a letter from Chandra Rai. And all the devotees were, Narottam Das Thakur said, what should I do? He didn't read it yet. He said, what should I do? This is a letter from Chandra Rai. And they said, whatever you think is best. So he read the letter. And he read it to his devotees. And he asked them, what is your suggestion? And Ramchandra Kaviraj said, you are independent. Whatever you feel is best. So Narottam Das Thakur silently began to think about that. Chandra Rai is inviting him to his house. The man who everyone fears with their life. Should I continue tomorrow?
No.
No.
Where's Govinda? He's supposed to say yes. Very good. Narottam Das Thakur began to think very sincerely on this subject. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared before his eyes, in his mind. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared within his heart and spoke. That beautiful savior of the most fallen, Patita Pavana, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, said, "Dear Narottam, you have the power. I will give you the power to deliver him and make him pure. You should go and you should give him the holy name of Krishna, and he will become a great Vaishnav. In fact, you should initiate him and give him the name Krishna Das, Hari Das." So Narottam Das Thakur then understood the will of the Lord. So he began to walk to the kingdom of Chandrarai. When he got to the outskirts, Raghavendra Rai, the father, had an incredible festival reception for Narottam Das Thakur. There were banners and all sorts of auspicious articles, and there was marching and singing bands and so many wonderful, not marching, singing. Reception like for a king was offered to Narottam. And Narottam Das Thakur just tolerated it all. He walked through it. They started giving him all kinds of gifts, and he just kept going. Then he came to the house, and Raghavendra Rai washed his lotus feet and offered prayers and dandavats and started offering him all kinds of gifts. And Narottam Das Thakur was just so kind and so pleasing. He said, "Where is your son?" So they brought him into the room. As soon as he entered into the room, Chandra Rai was laying. He was literally on the verge of death. And that horrible ghost that was in his body, as soon as he felt Narottam Das Thakur's presence and he could see Narottam through the eyes of Chandra Rai, the ghost in a horrible voice began to speak through the mouth of Chandra Rai. He said, "Due to my vast sins of the past, I have been condemned to this body of a ghost, and I can't get out of it. And not only that, I'm being condemned in the body of a ghost to live in the wretched body of Chandra Rai. And due to my karma, I can't get out. Please save me, save me." He said, "It is my desire that I live in Khetri in my next birth. Because I know, people may say whatever they know, but I know that Vrindavan has manifested in Bengal as Khetri Gram. It is none different than Vrindavan. It is your place of worship. Therefore, my only desire is let me be free from this ghostly body and be born as one of your devotees in Khetri Gram." And Narottam Das Thakur said, "Ghost, leave this place at once." And the ghost said, "I'm going. I'm going. Let me be born in Khetri and be your devotee." And then Chandra Rai became very humble. For the first time in his whole life, he started bowing down to a Vaishnava, profusely weeping tears, begging forgiveness for all of his sins, for all of the pains he caused others, for all of his selfish, egoistic acts, begging and begging for forgiveness, and praying for the shelter of Narottam Das Thakur's lotus feet. Thakur Narottam understood he was very sincere. And then Raghavendra and Santosh, his brother and father, were falling at Narottam Das Thakur's feet, begging for shelter, surrendering their lives.
Narottam Das Thakur told them, go take your baths in the Ganga. They all went to the Ganga, took their baths, and came back, put on clean clothes. And Narottam Das Thakur chanted the initiation mantra of the Lord's holy names in their ears. When Ramchandra Kaviraj, Govinda Kaviraj, and the other devotees saw Narottam Das Thakur giving initiation to these people who have been completely transformed, it was unbelievable to them. They had seen so much, but nothing like this. They were literally falling to the ground and rolling and weeping to see the extent of the mercy of Narottam Das Thakur. After the initiation, Narottam Das Thakur spent some days teaching them about pure love of God. And they were just like little children, obediently hearing every word he said. When Narottam Das Thakur said, I'm returning to Kethari, Chandra Rai, do you know what kind of guru dakshina he gave him? He gave Narottam Das Thakur entire villages, palaces, gold and boats, and you know, just profuse. Then he had beautiful, beautiful, royal, carved, decorated, ornamented boats to take Narottam Das across the Padmavati River. And Chandra Rai and his family went with him to Kethari. And there for several weeks, they heard the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam according to the six Goswamis, learned how to worship the deity of Sri Gauranga, and performed Sankirtan of the holy names. Learning from all the Vaishnavas who were the associates of Narottam Das Thakur, they became completely fixed in pure devotional service. With the blessings of Narottam Das Thakur, they returned. Now, the Nawab king, he hated Chandra Rai, because Chandra Rai never paid him taxes. And not only that, but he feared him, because the king could do nothing to subdue him. But his spies told him that now he's become a very humble, gentle Vaishnava. So one day when he was bathing, and Chandra Rai had many people around him when he was bathing, the king sent an entire army to attack and capture him. Hare Krishna. Here's Chandra Rai as a prisoner. He was brought to before the Nawab, and the Nawab was just blaspheming him and cursing him, saying, you never paid me taxes. Now he called for one of the executioners, get a whip and lash him, beat him, torture him. And Chandra Rai said, yes, please, I deserve worse. I deserve much worse than that. Do whatever you want with me. He said, no, forget about it. Lashing him isn't good enough. Put him in an underground prison where there's no food, no water, and hardly any air to breathe. So they made a cell underground, just a big hole in the ground, covered, impossible to escape, and they kept him there, tortured, no food, no water, no anything. Days went by. The news spread what kind of a severe, gruesome punishment Chandra Rai was suffering, and his father was very much saddened by this. He would do anything to protect his son. He spread the word that if anyone can release my child from this prison, I will give him villages, palaces, horses, elephants, whatever you want. I'll give you all these gifts, but somehow or other, come forward. And one very powerful mystic came and said, I will definitely free your son from this prison. Meanwhile, Chandra Rai, he was happy as anything. Didn't see even a ray of the light of day. He was just in a pitch dark, underground, cold, wet soil. I mean, hole in the ground.
no food, no water. The only thing he would ever hear is tormenting words coming from above. But he was immersed 24 hours a day in chanting the holy names. How is that possible? Trinadapi suniche natror ivasi hishnuna amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. He was living by these principles. He was humble like grass. He was tolerant like tree. He was so respectful. Tate nukampam susumiksha mano bunjana evatmikritam vipagam. Ridvadva purvir vaditam namaste jiveti sahi mukti sadesatvayatayabak. He was thinking, I deserve so much worse. Let the sufferings come. Whatever is meant for me, Krishna, it's your mercy. Just, I offer my obeisances with a grateful heart and chant your holy names. In this way, he was constantly chanting. So that mystic, one day, while Chandraraj is just sitting in his cell chanting, all of a sudden, right, the door breaks. The wall of earth just breaks open next to him, and this yogi comes through. Chandrarai said, who are you and where did you come from? He said, I'm a messenger of your father. Your father he really wants me to bring you home, and I can release you from this prison. Chandrarai said, how did you possibly get in here? He said, because I am a devotee of the goddess Kali, and by chanting her mantra, I have been given the power to enter through the earth to make a tunnel to come in to get you. And I can free you on this very day. All that is required is you just chant this mantra of Kali, and you will be free today. I will whisper it in your ear. No! You will not whisper this mantra in my ear. I have been given a mantra by my Gurudev, Narottam Das Thakur. And after receiving his mantra of Radha and Krishna, I cannot accept any mantra from anybody. You go back and you tell my father that I'm very happy and peaceful here, chanting the mantra that my guru gave me. No other mantra will enter this ear. Tell my father I'm very happy and very peaceful. The only pain I have in my life is separation from my Guru Maharaj. So that yogi left. And Chandrarai remained for so many more days. And he was always chanting. And any time anybody tried to torture him, he would just thank them and offer obeisances to them. And when this news came to the king, the Nawab, he couldn't understand. He personally brought Chandrarai out, who is now Krishnadas. And he said, I don't understand. I've tortured you. I've starved you. I've kept you in such a horrible condition. And you haven't even tried to bribe me yet. Now in India, that's the standard thing. At least you try to bribe somebody. He said, now you will die a horrible death under the trampling feet of a mad drunken elephant. So they made it a public execution where everyone in that area of the kingdom came to see the notorious king of dacoits, Chandrarai, was now going to be trampled under the feet of a mad elephant. Now, this was an event to see. So many people were there. And this mad elephant who had killed so many men, he was huge, vicious, and drunk with liquors. He just started to scream when he saw Chandrarai. Scream! Do you know how elephants scream? Everyone scream like elephant. Try it. God, even a little kitty cat would laugh at that. They scream. They're screaming. It's reverberating in all directions. And charged at Chandrai and picked. He had his hands and legs tied, and then the elephant picked him up with the trunk and whirled him around and threw him. And then charged again, and this time went to trample him to death. The elephant's eyes were red like coals in anger. And Chandrai very peacefully prayed to Narottam Das Thakur, "Please, if you want me to live, give me the power to defend myself." And then without the slightest effort, he just grabbed the elephant's trunk and pulled him down, and the elephant dropped dead. Hare Krishna. The people were shocked and amazed. And the king came down. Actually, he called Chandra Rai, "Come here and sit next to me." Chandra Rai sat down. And the king asked, "How did you do that? You've been starving. You've been not given any food. You've been in a dark hole for all this time. How did you do that?" Chandra Rai said, "I didn't do it." He said, "Now, when that elephant was attacking me, I just prayed to my Guru Maharaj, Narottam Das Thakur, to please save me. And by his strength, this elephant has been liberated. And let me tell you this. I deserved so many hundreds and thousands of times more than what you inflicted on me because of my sins. The whole time, I was just gratefully thanking God and my Guru for all that was happening to me. My only suffering in that prison was separation from Gurudev." And then he told him about that Kali Bhakta who came to save him. "I said I could have got out, but I sent him away because I would not hear any other mantra, even if it saved my life. Even if it went dying, I was not going to betray my loyalty to my Gurudev." When the Nawab heard this, his heart changed. He said, "Get a horse." And this beautiful horse came. And he said, "Chandra Rai, I'm giving you this horse. Ride it home." And then he gave him a beautiful, in front of everybody, he gave him a turban of victory and all sorts of honors and gifts. And Chandra Rai went in the direction of his home. And on his way, he was thinking, "My real home is the lotus feet of my Gurudev." So he rode right to Khetri and sent a message to his father and brother. And immediately they came. Meanwhile, Narottam Das Thakur, Ramchandra Kaviraj, Govinda Kaviraj, Gokulananda, Devi Das, all these incredible devotees, the leaders of Narottam Das Thakur's devotees, they were praying constantly for Krishna Das's welfare, because they were constantly hearing news about how he was being tortured. When he arrived, he fell at Narottam Das Thakur's feet crying, and Narottam Das was so heavy, so happy. Thakur Mahasai lifted him up and embraced him with such love. At that moment, the father, Raghavendra Rai, arrived. And he also fell at the feet of Narottam Das Thakur. And Chandra Rai looked at his father and said, "Why did you send that man? Did you not know my chastity to my Gurudev? Why did you test me like that?" He was really angry with his father, actually. It was a compassionate anger, but he was not happy. But Narottam Das Thakur smiled at Chandra Rai, so he understood my Gurudev is happy, so. So he forgave his father. His father fell at Narottam Das Thakur's feet and said, "I have made a great offense to you by doing this to my son. Please forgive me." So everyone forgave him, and they went to the temple of Sri Gauranga and had wonderful kirtan and then enjoyed nice prasad. And following in their footsteps, we will do the same. Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki jai.